And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Christina Thomas.
And this is a special fundraising edition of Ozarks at Large. We are in the middle of our fall on-air fundraiser. Our phone volunteers who've been with us all day from beginning at 6 in the morning, we've sent them home. But you can still make your contribution now by going to supportkuaf.com and making your pledge of support there.
Right. This is the time of year we come to you in the spring and in the fall when we come to you, our listeners, to ask you to help pay for the programming that you hear each and every day on KUAF. We can't do it without your help. The online form at supportkuaf.com is very easy. It's straightforward. You just enter in your name, the amount that you would like to pay, which can be anything from $10 all the way up to NPR Society at $1,000.
It's whatever you can pay, whatever you want to pay. You know your budget. You know best what you can afford. You know best how much you use KUAF. For some people, they turn it on as soon as they get up in the morning, and they really don't turn it off until they go to bed at night. Other people, perhaps you tune into Ozarks at Large, you know, during your lunch break just to catch up on what's happening in your area. Or maybe when you're waiting in line to pick up your kids from school, you tune into All Things Considered to hear about national and international news. It doesn't matter. If you listen and you enjoy KUAF for a variety of reasons, doesn't matter the reason, you want to support it, then you should. And you can do so right now by going to supportkuaf.com. I know a lot of first-time givers, sometimes they don't know how much to give.
Right.
The average pledge is $104 annually, and that's about $2 a week. So if you think that KUAF is worth $2 a week to you, maybe that's a great place to start. And you can do that right now. Make your contribution at supportkuaf.com. And from everyone here,
thank you very much.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
I'm Kyle Kellums.
Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation. KUAF is supported by Penguin Ed's Barbecue, offering catering services for parties or events of any size at either your location or one of the banquet rooms at the Mission and Wennington restaurants. Various catering packages available. PenguinEds.com for more information.
The Fayetteville School District will soon have a third school using a continuous learning calendar. That's after the Fayetteville Board of Education last night voted unanimously to allow Owl Creek School to change its educational schedule, which means the normal 12-week summer break has been shortened to 8 weeks, and 1 week break is given to students each academic quarter. Additionally, the school will offer a few weeks of intersession during the summer to give students the opportunity to study subjects they wouldn't normally get the chance to study in the traditional school year. Kristen Champion, principal of Owl Creek, says the change to the calendar will not require much of a transition period.
The calendars really are much more similar than they are different. I think the primary difference is that students will be coming back to school a little bit earlier, and they'll be leaving school about 2 weeks later. And then during those intersession weeks, parents will have a choice whether to keep the children at home or send them to school to do intersession activities. And those are really about the only differences. So it's not too much of a transition for us. And, you know, we do want time to work through whatever those issues are that parents foresee, because we want to support parents in what they think is best for their children.
The new continuous learning calendar is scheduled to take effect with the next academic year.
The NCAA has released the latest data regarding student-athlete graduation success rates. The rates are calculated for the four most recent graduating classes of Division I athletes who entered college between 2003 and 2006. According to the data, the overall graduate success rate for athletes at the University of Arkansas has reached a record 74%. That average rate is driven upwards by 100% graduation rates for women's golf and gymnastics, and by a 93% graduation rate in women's soccer. Of the revenue-generating sports, the Razorback baseball team fared the best with a graduation success rate of 78%. Football only saw 54% of its athletes graduate, while only 10% of basketball players graduated within the same time frame.
Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee was back in his home state last night. The TV and radio talk show host stopped in Texarkana, and during his visit, he told reporters he'll likely wait until after the 2014 elections before making any announcements about his possible political future.
I'm not trying to be coy, but I mean, I haven't ruled anything out, but I haven't made any decision to be back in yet. So that's a decision I'll make after the 2014 elections, which I think is what we've got to focus on right now.
The former governor and one-time presidential candidate also told reporters he believes the recent stalemate between Democrats and Republicans that produced the partial federal government shutdown was a tactical error made by the Republican Party.
And a legislator never puts a vote on the floor. He didn't know what the vote count is. Legislation is about one thing, math. And if you don't have the math on your side, then it doesn't make sense to force the issue. And so I think the Republicans should have stepped back, allowed Obamacare to been on the stage all by itself. Let that be the news story for the past 3 weeks, not the shutdown.
The city of Fayetteville is waiving daily fishing and lake use fees this weekend on Lake Sequoia and Lake Fayetteville. The free fishing weekend is one of two free fishing weekends held each year. According to the city, the feeless weekends are meant to promote and encourage use of the city's lakes. Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the lower 40s. A 40% chance of showers in northwest Arkansas tomorrow and a 60% chance of showers in the Arkansas River Valley, with highs topping out at around 65 degrees. Tomorrow night, there's a 20% chance of showers and a low of 42 in northwest Arkansas and a 40% chance of showers and a low of 48 in the Arkansas River Valley.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me on the phone from Fort Smith is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, all sorts of news for the entire listening area. How are you on this final Friday in October?
I'm doing well, and I always do well until you mention like final Friday, and it's like, good Lord, this year is swinging by.
I mean, if you think about it, we have only, you can count the Fridays left in 2013 on your two hands.
Well, and thanks for that bit of...
I thought I would... Since you seem to have anxiety about the one, I thought I would extend it.
Outstanding.
Sandy Sanders, the mayor of Fort Smith, has recently said he would like to have a few more years in that office.
Yep, four more years. He was elected in what was a pretty intense race, but he defeated Mayor Baker back in 2010. And you remember Mayor Baker had been in office 20 years, so he was an institution... But the mayor, also at the time, Mayor Baker was fighting cancer, and it was not doing well. In fact, he died 4 months later after the election. But so, Mayor Sanders, he's going to complete 4 years here soon, and he wants another shot at it. He's he says he just still has some things he wants to do. One of them, he's still working. In fact, he's partnered with Fayetteville Mayor Lionel Jordan for one of their goals is to deepen the Arkansas River from 9 foot to 12 foot. They say that'll build jobs in both Northwest Arkansas, or create jobs in Northwest Arkansas and the Fort Smith area. He's also, Mayor Sanders talks about, you know, his role in working with the Fort Smith Chamber. If you remember, Sanders was an interim director, interim president of the Fort Smith Chamber for a while. So he talks about his work as mayor, working with the Fort Smith Regional Chamber to create, to help create jobs, bring jobs to the area. So he just says he wants another 4 years. What's going to be interesting about this race is that Vice Mayor Kevin Settle, it's been kind of rumored that he's kicking the tires for a mayor's race. City Director Philip Mary has said just outright he's considering it. So this could end up being, and there have been a few other folks that we've been told are kicking tires. This could be a very interesting race. So Mayor Sanders may not... He may not just waltz in back into another 4 years.
You mentioned jobs. We've had a couple of announcements this week alone about new jobs. Cookie dough in Springdale, pet food in the Arkansas River Valley.
Yeah, Mars Pet Care in Fort Smith. They've been here since September 2009. It was an $80 million expansion when they first moved here. This is a $50 million expansion and 42 jobs. And I want to use this quickly as an example of what not just in Arkansas, not just the Fort Smith area, but nationwide, if not worldwide, this is what we will see in terms of manufacturing. This is the dynamic in that you have a huge expansion in terms of the investment, $50 million, but it's only adding 42 jobs. And I think that's this is a great learning opportunity. This is what we'll see because the automated manufacturing, advanced manufacturing, we've long talked about it, but it is now it's now the new normal in manufacturing. So I don't think it's going to be more and more rare that those manufacturing announcements come with 300, 400, 500 jobs. It's going to be more like, you know, these type of jobs. So the good news for the Fort Smith area is that Mars is continuing to expand. They're going to add jobs. And not that it's bad news, but just the reality is that, you know, it's going to be a long time, if ever, that we get back. Because think about this. The Fort Smith area has lost about 10,000 manufacturing jobs in the past 10 years. So it would take roughly another 235 more announcements like this Mars Pet Care to get us back to where we were 10 years ago. Up in Springdale, that's good news. Springdale continues to grow. I know that they've long been considered, you know, not the more glamorous city in Northwest Arkansas, but I think a lot of things are turning around, especially in the arts community there and downtown. But here's another example. You know, they've had Duralure in downtown, and now we'll have, or in Springdale, and now this cookie manufacturer. And hopefully, that's got to make the area smell good, if anything else, right?
Well, who doesn't like cookie dough, right?
Right.
Speaking of kind of the future and growth for Fort Smith, there was a draft vision report early this week that kind of suggested that Fort Smith is at a crossroads.
Well, and it is, and you know, Fort Smith, they're in the middle of this comprehensive planning committee. It's an 18-month process. The city's spending about $340,000 to bring in these consultants and to pay for this work. But what they essentially are looking at, they're working on a draft vision statement, which it's somewhat. I got to admit, it's somewhat frustrating for some of us who have been watching Fort Smith for, you know, more than 15 or 20 years. This is. But they're talking about how we retain and enhance community character, promoting economic development, diversifying the city's economy, diversifying the entertainment venues, and better connecting residents with Fort Smith institutions, Fort Smith government, that type of thing. And it's all good. One of the things they've talked about is, hey, you know, as Fort Smith has grown and as Fort Smith is invested in areas like Chaffee Crossing with streets and water and sewer infrastructure, what you're doing is you expand that development. You're creating, you know, a lot of vacant infill areas. And so, you know, you're going to, at some point, you're expanding the city's boundaries. You're expanding the city's infrastructure, but you're not increasing the property value, the value of what you had previously. So at some point, it becomes an economic drain. And they've also talked about some of the tax leakage. You know, they estimate they're about a little over $800 million in commerce that leaves Fort Smith area every year to go to maybe like Northwest Arkansas or Tulsa or other things. So how does the city kind of capture that and boost its sales tax collections?
$800 million?
Yeah, yes. And that's and I think they received that. The Western Arkansas Planning and Development District conducted an assessment. So that... and if you look at the Fort Smith area tax collections over the years, they've been not healthy. So I mean, it's not outside the realm of reason by any stretch. What's a little frustrating though, Kyle, is that these are things that we've known, we've told each other as a community these things for years now. We've had several other studies in which we've known we've got to do more in terms of economic development. We've got to be wiser about our infrastructure investments in the city. I mean, if you keep expanding, and that requires new fire stations and new police stations, but yet the original areas, you know, if they're not developing also, you create problems in terms of providing the type of support for those expanded operations. So, you know, it's sometimes I feel like the parent who keeps telling the child to clean up the room and they just don't do it, and then somebody else comes and tells them to clean up the room and they don't do it. It gets a little frustrating over time, but with each one of these, we hope that someone gets it, someone catches on, and maybe something good happens in terms of improving not only city government but the regional economy.
Finally, early this week, sort of a political surprise from the 2nd District, which is, of course, Central Arkansas, and that is that two-term Congressman Tim Griffin will not be three-term congressman at all. He's not seeking re-election.
No, and what this does is, Tom Cotton in the 4th District, which the 4th Congressional District now is in the Metro Fort Smith metro area and snakes up into Madison County in northwest Arkansas. So he's, Representative Cotton's running against Senator Pryor. So we knew that race or that district will have a new face. Well, so will the 2nd District. So of Arkansas's 4 congressional offices, 4 House offices, we will have 2 new faces come January 2015. And as you noted, that's not in the KUAF listening area, but it does create a political trickle, just like when Tom Cotton announced. A lot of folks decided to not run for this or run for that, and so there'll be some state constitutional offices that may be affected, but it's just another surprise in what has been a collection of very interesting surprises so far for the 2014 election cycle. And as I've said before, as a political junkie, I just keep the surprises coming. I love them.
Well, we've had a couple of polls recently. The Arkansas poll was released this week from the University of Arkansas. We had the Talk Business Hendricks College poll. Both suggest that Arkansas remains a firmly red state. But these 2 congressional seats that are open now, both held by Republicans, do state Democrats have enthusiasm that maybe they can pick up a House seat?
Well, they're hoping. And that poll also showed there are a lot of independents in Arkansas now. I think a majority of those independents did lean Republican over Democratic. But again, in Arkansas, you can be a Democrat and you're not a Democrat like they have in Massachusetts or Virginia or Ohio. It's a different brand, so they're still conservative. But I think the Democrats are hopeful. They got beat up in 2012 and 2010, really. They're hopeful that they can push back against that and recover. And the Democratic Party of Arkansas really needs to recover. If they take too many more beatings, it will be they will be on some pretty shaky ground. And I think what we're going to see, especially with the Pryor Cotton race, if you think that the election between those two guys and some of these federal elections have gotten dirty, just hang on. Because they haven't even started spending the millions that they will begin to spend early next year and into November. This is, they're going to have some of these guys are going to have everybody convinced that the other guy wants to treat your grandmother bad. It's going to be bad.
When Bill Halter stepped out of the Democratic race for governor, I asked you, okay, are all the chips? Do we know where everything is? I couldn't have been further from accurate there. Keep shifting.
Yes, they'll keep shifting, and we'll have some other shifts. Someone asked me the other day, is it pretty much a lock, the Pryor Cotton race? Or, who do you think, what do you think is going to happen in that between those two? And my answer was, I'm not even sure they're going to have a clean primary. I'm not going to be surprised if someone the last minute jumps in that Democratic primary against Pryor or the GOP primary against Cotton. I don't think it's the smartest move politically, but
both of them have a lot of money raised already.
Right. But, Pryor has he's vulnerable on his ties with Obama, and Cotton's vulnerable in Arkansas on some of his farm votes. The farm community in Arkansas is not especially happy with him. So they both have some chinks. My point is, is it likely that it will be those two going after each other in November? Sure. But is it certain that they'll not have a primary opponent? No. Again, this election cycle has proven, if anything, that about the time you think something's certain, guess what?
You're not hinting at a political announcement for yourself, are you?
Yeah, yeah, I got nothing better to do. I thought I'd... No, heck no.
Okay. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of the City Wire that covers news, politics, business, and more for the entire listening area. Michael, thank you so much.
All right, have a good weekend.
It is Friday, October 25th, 2013, and joining me in Studio 123 is Becca Martin Brown. She is Features Editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
Hey.
Hi.
How's the fundraiser going?
Well, it's going. It's just day two, so, you know, we've still got a ways to go.
I thought you looked awfully good, so,
yeah.
You know. So I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm addicted to ghost shows on TV.
You know, I did know that.
And I would love to be a paranormal investigator.
Mm-hmm. I think I knew this, too.
And I truly believe that those things that go bump in the night might be Uncle Ben and Aunt Maddie. On the other hand, I'm terrified of cat scares, things that go boo.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a good time of year for you, then.
It is, mm-hmm. Except that there's lots of scary haunted houses, and we're not going to talk about those today. We're going to pick and choose from the 150 or more inches of Halloween events we've had. And we're going to pick the ones that are really ghostly.
Okay.
The Eureka Springs Cemetery Tours.
Mm-hmm.
Living history tours that feature live actors in period costumes. And this year they're focusing on the 1930s and 1940s of Eureka Springs and the music of that period. And that's 5:30 to 8 today and tomorrow at the Eureka Springs Municipal Cemetery. And tickets are $5 to $10.
So they're portraying people that are buried in those cemeteries.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Or maybe they're not. The Fort Smith Murder and Mayhem Trolley Tour. The trolley goes through the Belgrove Historic District, and you get what they say are gruesome historic facts and eerie local legends. And that is 6 o'clock today, tomorrow, and Halloween night at the Fort Smith Museum of History. And that is $25. Historic Rogers Ghost Walks. A night of murder, mayhem, and mystery. There's a lot of scary stuff in this.
There's a theme here.
Costumed characters from the past will present their versions of interesting true incidents. 7 and 8 o'clock today and tomorrow at the Rogers Historical Museum. That's $5. There's a paranormal lamplight tour at the Clayton House in Fort Smith. 7 and 8:30 today and Wednesday. That's $10. And the Illusionist and the Medium. I know you've heard of Jean-Paul, the Illusionist in Eureka Springs. And he's going to attempt to cut his beautiful assistant in half. That could get gory. 8 o'clock tomorrow and Saturday at the Intrigue Theater in Eureka Springs. Tickets are $25 to $30. And on Saturday, the Haunted Battlefield Tour at Prairie Grove. They'll be telling some ghost stories. That starts at 7 o'clock tomorrow night at the amphitheater, and tickets are $2.
It'll be dark for that one.
Yeah. And on Halloween night, the Haunting on Cherry Street, historic downtown Rogers with lights and a full production of kid-friendly Halloween fun. And that is from 7 to 10 on Wednesday and Thursday, which is Thursday's Halloween, of course, 7 to midnight on Friday and Saturday of next week, and 7 to 10 on next Sunday. So if you're running a little late, you're good.
Still stuff to do.
Also this weekend, Rogers by the Reel tonight, a celebration of the Rogers Historical Museum, 6 to 9 o'clock at Rogers Little Theater, and tickets are $75. Through These Eyes, a new play about self-image that's presented by Fayetteville High School actors under the direction of Mike Thomas, 7 o'clock today and tomorrow at Fayetteville High School Performing Arts Center. Translations. It's a play about language and culture.
Oh, this is the studio.
This is the studio series at University Theater in Fayetteville. That's 7:30 today through Sunday at the Nadine Baum Studios, and that's $5. And Peter Pan, presented by Trike Theater. 2 and 5 tomorrow and 2 and 5 Sunday at the Star Theater at Walton Arts Center, and tickets for that are $8 to $12.
All righty.
Go have a good time.
Lots of stuff to do. Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is Features Editor with Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. Back to you guys in the control room.
Thank you, Christina. And just a few other reminders about things happening in the very near future. The City of Bentonville's Tree and Landscape Advisory Committee is hosting a fall tree giveaway. 150 trees available to Bentonville residents tomorrow in Lawrence Plaza. It begins 9 tomorrow morning, and it ends when all the trees are gone. You do need a copy of your current utility bill displaying that you are, in fact, from Bentonville. If you have any questions, 271-6826. And if you're looking for something else to do tomorrow, the University of Arkansas Society of Physics students inviting you and your family to the annual kid-friendly Haunted Physics Lab. That's tomorrow from 2 until 5 in the first floor of the University of Arkansas Physics building. There are hands-on experiments, liquid nitrogen ice cream, and a chance to win science prizes. For more information for tomorrow afternoon's Haunted Physics Lab, 575-2506. The Junior League of Northwest Arkansas will host a Moonlight Masquerade fundraiser tomorrow night from 7 until 11. It's in hopes of bringing awareness to domestic violence in the community. Funds from the event will benefit local shelters and charities that share in the league's mission to end domestic violence in Northwest Arkansas, such as Peace at Home Family Shelter and the Northwest Arkansas Women's Shelter. For more information, you can go to juniorleaguenwa.org. And don't forget, the Greater Ozarks Chapter of the Barbershop Harmony Society will celebrate the 75th anniversary of the organization with a presentation titled Bring Back the Good Old Days, featuring Vocal Spectrum. This takes place Sunday, November 3rd. That's a week from Sunday at 2 in the afternoon at the Bella Vista Community Church. Tickets can be found at Arvest Bank locations or by calling 877-993-7464 or online at greaterozarks.org.
And this is Ozarks at Large. I'm Christina Thomas.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
This is day two of our on-air fall fundraiser. And while the volunteers have gone home, the volunteers that answer your phone calls, you can still support at our website, supportkuaf.com. Again, this is a time of year when we come to you, our listeners, and ask that you help support the programming that you hear every day. Because we here at KUAF, we're a community radio station, and we can't do it without the community's help. And along those lines, we're not asking just one member of the community to do that. Every little bit adds up. So if you can do $10 a month, I mean, it really does add up.
Get a lot of people mm-hmm. who give us $10 a month, right. And that adds up. You know, 10 people giving $10 a month, that's, you know, $100 a month for us. And that starts to add up. And it helps us get that much closer to our goal for this fundraiser. And it helps us fulfill our budget, which is a little over $1 million this year. I mean, that's the money that we need to keep this place running, to keep the lights on, and to pay for shows that we get from NPR, such as Morning Edition, All Things Considered, Performance Today. We need every little bit helps.
And that's what I do. I'm a sustaining member. I have a little bit deducted from my paycheck each and every month because I'm a University of Arkansas mm-hmm. employee. And by being a sustaining member, I don't have to worry about that. I know that KUAF is getting my support each and every month because I listen every day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not proud of that, but maybe, you know, there's a bill lying on my kitchen counter and I forget to pay it.
Right.
I get the pink slip for my water bill, actually, sometimes quite often. But that's the beauty of being a sustaining member, is that I know that it's my support is being directly used.
You've committed to making that contribution every month, and it's very helpful for people that are busy or just people like me who tend to forget things. You sign up to become a sustaining member, and we will, you know, take that $10 or those $20 out of your checking account every month. Or right. If you prefer your credit card, we can charge your credit card every month. And as you mentioned, University of Arkansas employees, we can do a payroll deduct every month. There, we have lots of ways for mm-hmm. you to sign up to be a sustaining member.
And you can sign up at our website. Mm-hmm. supportkuaf.com.
Thanks to everybody who has contributed so far and to those of you who are contributing right now.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And with us inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio is Michael Jonathan, who is the host of Woodsong's Old Time Radio Hour and in Northwest Arkansas this weekend. Welcome.
Hey, thank you for having me out here. It's my first time in Fayetteville, and to be able to visit the station. You guys are a fairly new affiliate to the Woodsong's family, and it's mm-hmm. really nice to be here.
What is happening in Eureka Springs on Saturday night is the Woodsong Show. What do you have? What have you been doing? How do you get ready for an on-location show?
Well, that's none of your business. Well, Woodsongs goes, we are home-based in Kentucky. We have a beautiful Lyric Theater, 500-seat hall in Lexington, Kentucky, and we've done over 700 shows there since the beginning. And every now and then, I'll take the show out on the road. We just got back from Dublin, Ireland. 2,000 people piled into a beautiful concert hall along the Liffey River in Dublin, and we did two broadcasts in one night there. We've already been on the road to Jonesboro several years ago, and then about a year and a half ago, we went to Conway and outside of Little Rock. We did two broadcasts celebrating the music of Arkansas there, and a lot of folks, you know, Charles Ragsdale and Mike and a bunch of other folks from Eureka Springs were at that show and said, would you come to Eureka Springs? And they have this beautiful old theater there called the Aud, the Auditorium. And we said, yeah, let's do that. So what we're doing Saturday night are two shows celebrating the music of the Ozarks. But to help us do that, we have Leroy Troy and the Tennessee Jug Band on one show. They're out of Nashville. And they do a very old-timey Ozark-style music. But it's sort of a hee-haw on steroids is what they do. The second show, we're going to have more Ozark music, but we have Michael Martin Murphy. And the reason I invited Michael, aside from the fact that, you know, he's a dear friend of mine, but, you know, this part of Arkansas has a deep heritage in what became cowboy music. And Michael is sort of America's cowboy. And so we're gonna have Michael Martin Murphy as part of the second show. So it's a huge night of music in Eureka Springs, and we're just really glad that KUAF could be part of it.
Well, I understand traveling and performing is not something that is new to you. You actually kind of got your start traveling through the Appalachians and learning to play there. Can you tell me a little bit about that? I read a little bit about your travels, and it just was very fascinating.
None of it was true. It's just PR. No, I grew up in New York, and my neighbor was was someone that we used to make fun of in Beacon, New York, right on the Hudson River. He was a nice enough fella. He was an old guy that played the banjo. He claimed to be a musician, but he played the banjo. And to a bunch of rock and roll teenagers, that didn't make sense. He'd show up at our schools after a thunderstorm with an axe to help chop up the fallen limbs and stuff, because he liked chopping wood. And, you know, that made us uncomfortable even back then, you know. So when I was 18, I got a call from a friend of mine, you know, hey, dude, you want to be a DJ? And I was like, okay. So I went from New York to Laredo, Texas, on the Mexican border at 18 years old and became the midnight to 6 a.m. DJ. That's the slot they give you when you suck. And about 3 o'clock.
I did that for 3 summers.
Yeah, so, well, so we
now
both,
I know. Now
we
I know.
Both
yes.
Sucked. That's right.
Yes.
So about 3 o'clock one morning, I had to play an oldies record, and I pulled out, by happenstance, a song by Roger McGuinn and the Byrds called Turn, Turn, Turn. To everything, turn, turn, turn. And I noticed that it was written by my crazy neighbor. And I was like, oh, that's who Pete Seeger is. And so I got very inspired. And by the time the song ended, I decided I wanted to be a folk singer. So I moved to the Appalachians to get to what you were talking about, a little hamlet called Mousie, Kentucky. And I would go up and down the hollers with my guitar and banjo, knocking on doors and learning old songs. It was a very romantic thing to do. You know, when you're footloose and fiancé-free, you can do stuff like that. And I started touring, and that's what I do. That's how I make my living. I do concerts around the nation and perform.
Pete Seeger was your neighbor.
Yeah. I was living next to folk music royalty, and I had no clue. Didn't have an idea who he was. I didn't care who he was, because nothing he had plugged in. You know, I was a rock and roll head. You know, banjo, come on, give me a freaking break. Now it's that's my main, you know, one of my main instruments.
Would you give that advice to any young person you know at 18 or 19 to be footloose and go traveling and
knocking
meet
on
strangers?
Random doors?
Yeah.
When else are you going to do it? When else? You can't do it when you're, you know, 30 years old with a wife and children. Yes, explore life. Experience life. If you have a dream, don't hold back. I mean, this is what life is for. It's not to listen to other people and constrain yourself and be deluged by perceived rules that really don't matter. If you have a dream, you want to play the banjo and go on the road, if you want to write songs, try it. At least you can say you tried it, right? I mean, how hard can it be? I listened to Prairie Home Companion one afternoon, and I said, gee, I wonder how hard can it be to do a live audience radio show? And so we did it. You know, a couple of years ago, I saw my first opera. I never seen an opera before, and I was like, how hard can it be to write an opera? So I wrote a full symphonic orchestrated opera with opera singers and everything. It's about the day Woody Guthrie wrote This Land Is Your Land. If you don't believe me, go to woodyguthrieopera.com, and you can hear the opera.
How hard can it be?
How hard can it be?
Well, I don't know.
How hard can it be? So, yes, pursue your dreams. Yes.
Can we hear something?
No.
Okay.
No. Yes, sir, of course you can. I've got my long neck banjo here, and we have Melissa Deaton from the Woodsongs broadcast, who sings on the show every week, and she's going to sing a song. We're going to play a pretty song for this time of year about all the flowers and beautiful trees that are out there, okay? It's called Flowers. Hair of gold and eyes like stars shine like diamonds on my heart. You are love and earth to me, so flowers I will give to thee. The morning sun like marigolds I will give for you to hold. All my love and loyalty are in these flowers I give to thee. I will give you roses red and pick for you a flower bed, a living crimson tapestry. Flowers I will give to thee. I hope the nighttime stars that shine give you rest and peace of mind. In the morning light you'll see a world of flowers I give to thee. I will give you roses red and pick for you a flower bed, a living crimson tapestry. Flowers I will give to thee.
So back to why you're here in town for the Eureka Springs performance. How do you decide who is going to be on your show?
Mm.
We've talked a little bit about this specific
sure.
instance, but in general, how do you?
Well, Woodsongs is all volunteer run. I don't get anything to do Woodsongs. The entire crew, the TV directors, the audio engineers, the camera people, everybody's a volunteer. The artists that come on the show are not paid. Woodsongs airs on 509 affiliates around the world, radio stations around the world. KUAF is one of our, you know, wonderful affiliates. We love you guys. And I get a lot of email from your Saturday afternoon broadcast.
Good.
So I know a lot of listeners are listening, tuning in, and responding. It airs on PBS nationwide in about 91 million homes. And it airs on American Forces Radio Network, which puts us in 173 nations. Every military base, every U.S. naval ship at sea gets to hear Woodsongs twice every week. And so a lot of artists submit to be on the show. And if you go to woodsongs.com and click on the submission button, you'll see the rules. You send in your CD and your bio and write your information on the back of a $20 bill, and we'll listen. No, I'm just kidding. So, but I say it on the show every week, and I mean it. You don't have to be famous. You just have to be good. We are living in a world of organic roots music explosion. There are so many wonderful artists out there, and it's getting harder to reach the audience. You know, commercial radio, I'm not knocking commercial radio, but commercial radio has such a restricted playlist, you know? Yeah. You know, the commercial station in, for example, Fayetteville is being told what to play by a consultant in Seattle. You know, I mean, it has nothing to do with the local community. Again, that's the way that process works, and I'm not knocking it. I'm just explaining it. Public radio is the last gateway between genuine art and the audience. It's the last gateway between a true musician performing from the heart, not a chart. And it is public radio that opens the gate between the artist, the true artist, and their audience. And so I wanted Wood Songs to serve as a portal for that. And so artists, you know, heard on your station that we're coming, and we've gotten several hundred submissions for these two little shows. I mean, the stack, Melissa's been in the office, right? The stack of the CD submissions is huge. And so we have a little team that goes through all the CDs, listens to it, and then I pick the ones that'll be on the show.
What is the charge like different? I'm not a musician, so I don't know. But what is it like to play live with people who are right there and rapt and paying attention as opposed to being in the studio?
Well, it's the difference between two-dimensional and three-dimensional. We're living among the first generation in human history that gets most of their art and music as a two-dimensional form. They're emailed an MP3. They Google them, they YouTube them, they iTunes them, they download them, and they're done. And they've never seen them live. And this is the first generation in our history that gets most of its music in what used to be a front porch society. I mean, here in Fayetteville, I mean, look at all the beautiful front porches on the homes around here because it's an older community. But across America, they don't even put front porches on the homes anymore. And that's where this music used to be played, in living rooms and front porches. It was part of the community tapestry of how neighbors got to know each other. And so performing live is by far better. And to a new generation of people, of kids, it's a unique thing because they don't see real performers anymore. It's all flat screens and smartphones and you know, two-dimensional stuff. And we all live in the two-dimensional world on radio, but the purpose of public radio is to use the two-dimensional format to encourage community activity. You know, it's not limited to just that. We're trying to encourage people to pick up their instruments and play and be part of it. I mean, Wood Songs has helped start over 90 little Wood Songs coffee houses around the nation. You know, people opening up their living rooms and garages. And the guy in Las Vegas turned a mechanic's garage into a concert hall. He calls it the Garage Mahal. You know, it's a Wood Songs coffee house, you know, and we're helping our listeners present music in their hometowns, become part of the three-dimensional real world. So that's a good question. Playing live is best always.
Well, how about one more song?
No.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
I feel like I'm part of Rowan and Martin here.
Here's that. I'll pick up the guitar. So I live in Kentucky. I live in a log cabin on a hill on 7 acres outside of Lexington, Kentucky, and it was a beautiful, foggy morning, and that's what inspires songs, is what's around you. And what's the name of this again?
Looking Glass.
Thank you very much. It's so new that I don't remember the but it'll feature Melissa a little bit, so here we go. It's another foggy morning. I struggle with a foggy moment, parts of dreams running round my head. I reach across jumbled covers searching for my lady lover. That's the way I wanna stay with you.
Once upon a time I thought I knew I would be forever blue. Looking for a magic moment, searching for my one and only you. Then I found my lady lass, looking through a looking glass, and that's the way I wanna be with you. La 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 la. Once upon a time I thought I knew I would be for finding another you. Looking for a magic moment, searching for my one and only you. And I found my lady lass, looking through a looking glass, and that's the way I wanna be with you. It's another foggy morning. I struggle with a foggy moment. Parts of dreams running around my head. I reach across jumbled covers, searching for my lady lover. That's the way I wanna stay with you.
That's the way I wanna stay with you.
Thank you.
Then the old bluegrass ending.
So that's freshly written.
Yeah, it's just like a week and a half old or so.
Wow.
So,
do you ever, not to get too philosophical, but do you ever think about the fact, okay, your neighbor was Pete Seeger, who you didn't know, then you go half a continent away to do this gig as an 18-year-old, and you happen to play a song that happens to be written, and that inspires you. I mean, I don't know if you believe in random things or whatever, but some tumblers came together to make something happen.
Well, you know, sometimes when muse is ignored, nothing happens. So, that, you know, it was just a case of paying attention as things, you know, happen. I mean, you know, to end up writing a full-blown opera about my neighbor that, you know, who does not play opera music, you know, that alone. My hero when I was a kid was, and I don't want to get too Michael about this, but when I was a kid, my big hero was Henry David Thoreau. I used to walk around with Walden in my back pocket. And, you know, Thoreau was one of the world's biggest losers ever. You know, he couldn't get a record deal. His first book was a huge flop. There's an entry in one of his diaries when the publisher returned all the books. He said, I now have a library of 900 volumes, 700 of which I wrote myself. You know, because, you know, the publisher returned all the books. His second book published was Walden. You know, it took him 7 years, and it only sold 236 copies, and the publisher dropped that. You know, so here is a beautiful writer that nobody understood, nobody cared about. And when he died, he was totally obscure. If had it not been for Ralph Waldo Emerson, nobody would have known who he was. And yet he became the father of American literature, the most quoted writer in American history. And, you know, I saw my first performance play, you know, about 5 years ago. I'd never seen one. Even when I was in school, I never saw a play. I never attended a play. And I was like, well, how hard can it be to write a play? So I wrote a two-act, four-character play about the final 2 days Henry was at Walden Pond before leaving, you know, the cabin. He was at the cabin for 2 years, 2 months, and 2 days, and left with a bunch of journals. He didn't know what they were. And so I wrote this play, and we put it on a website thinking that maybe 12 or 15 theaters will download the script and perform it. And in 24 months, we had over 8,400 registered performances in 42 countries. It got translated into 4 different languages and became a yearly PBS special now on public television every Earth Day. PBS stations around the country air the Walden Play. And so if you go to waldenplay.com, your schools can perform the play here in Fayetteville in this spring if they wanted to. It's free. but you just have to register the performance. The thing is, an artist has to be aware of the muse, no matter what it is. And to do that, you have to ignore the market forces around you. In other words, the people telling you no,
yeah,
screw them.
So you hear Prairie Home Companion, you think, how hard can it be to do a live show,
yeah,
and you do it. You go to an opera, you think, how hard can it be to do an opera, so you write one.
Right.
You see a live play, and you think, how hard can it be, so you write one. I hope you don't go to a magician and see him cut a woman in half.
Well, I've tried that, and that's hard. No, my next project is a motion picture. I was like, how hard can it be to write a movie script? So I wrote a movie script of the most amazing woman story to come out of Appalachia. If you go to caneycreekmovie.com, starts with a C, caneycreekmovie.com, you'll see this amazing story. You'll get the story of the movie script, what we're working on. Yeah, I completed the movie script, and we're trying to arrange the movie production now. How hard can it be?
How hard can it be?
Get off your tail and just do it. Quit whining. Stop thinking about it and do it.
Michael, Melissa, thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you guys for having a great coffee, by the way.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Good.
I needed it.
Good.
Michael Jonathan's Wood Songs Old Time Radio Hour will perform two shows tomorrow night at the Auditorium in Eureka Springs. For tickets and more information, you can visit The Odd, that's AUD.org.
And if you enjoy music on KUAF, we have a treat for you tomorrow, a special Saturday edition of Ozarks at Large.
Yes. In light of Michael Jonathan coming to town, we thought it would be a good time to stop and reflect on all of the wonderful musicians that we've been able to have come to the studio from out of town. You know, people from across the country who've been to the area and took the time to stop by our studios and perform for us.
And we really appreciate when that happens because mm-hmm. often they have limited time here.
They do.
They're on
in
the road.
And they're out, and they're just so, you know, they have to be there for sound check, and then they have the actual performance, and then loading up things into the van almost immediately sometimes and heading off to the next place. So we are very appreciative of the people that work us into their schedule because, you know, they're donating their time.
They are. And you'll hear 8 of the performances from visiting musicians tomorrow on a special edition of Ozarks at Large. That's tomorrow at noon on KUAF 91.3 FM. We'll hear from Jamie Stone,
Room of Wonders.
Room of Wonders here for Artisphere in May. We'll hear from some folks that were here for the Gully Park concerts back in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Joseph Israel, who used to live here mm-hmm. and now tours nationally. That and much more tomorrow at noon on a special Saturday edition of Ozarks at Large.
This is a special edition of Ozarks at Large,
yes,
because
it's
a fundraising edition of Ozarks at Large. Day 2 of the fundraiser.
That's right.
We have sent our volunteers home for the day, our phone volunteers, but you can make your contribution now by heading over to supportkuaf.com and making your pledge there.
And it takes as long as you want, actually. with the web, you could spend time. But if you think about how much you want to contribute and how you want to make that contribution, once you get online at supportkuaf.com, it takes no time whatsoever. And you know what? If you're supporting because you enjoy the 7 o'clock edition of Ozark at Large, let us know that, too. We would appreciate that.
Sure. We'd love to know. We appreciate knowing what our listeners enjoy listening to.
That's right.
We have a variety, you know, wide range of people who listen to us with a wide variety of tastes, and it's fun to be reminded of that.
That's right. So if you want to wait and make the phone call, if you'd rather contribute that way, you can do that beginning tomorrow morning at 6. I'll be back with you at 6 a.m. You can make the phone call then. But if you just want to do it while you're thinking about it, do it online at supportkuaf.com. And thanks from everyone at Ozarks at Large and KUAF. This is KUAF 91.3 FM. Fayetteville, Fort Smith, Rogers, Clifty.
Clifty.
Yeah. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. For our colleague, Christina Thomas, I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Thanks so much for listening.